जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरीवर धारी जय गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरीवर धारी शरनंदन व्रज जन रंजन शरनंदन व्रज जन रंजन सुमुना तीरा वनचारी सुमुना तीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरीवर गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरीवर धारी शशरनंदन व्रज जन रंजन शशरनंदन ज जन रंजन सुना तीरा वनचारी सुन तीरा
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंसु परिपराज कचार्य स्तोत्र श्री श्रीमान एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी महाराज प्रभुपाद की जय। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंसु परिपराज कचार्य स्तोत्र श्री श्रीमान भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। Prem se kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrindaki Jai Shri Sri Radha Krishna Gopinath Sham Kun Radha Kunigiri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Tham Ki Jai Navadip Tham Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Ki Jai Ganga Mai Ki Jai Jamana Mai Ki Jai Tulsi Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakta Vrindaki Jai All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Gaur Premanande. Thank you all very much for kindly coming this evening. We invite you to move forward so that especially toward the doorway there so that people can make their way in should they choose. Hare Krishna. And this may be a good time for a mobile check. Wish I can see that your mobiles are stable. Thank you. Jaya. Hare Krishna. This is Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter 7, Text 5. Aparaya mitas tanyam prakriti. Yeah. You want to repeat? Go ahead. Prakritim vidhime param. Jiva bhutam mahabaho. Yayedam dharyate jagat. Aparaya mitas tvanyam prakritim vidhime param jiva bhutam mahabaho yayedam dharyate jagat. Apara, inferior. Iyam, this. Itaha, besides this. Tu, but. Anyam, another. Prakritim, energy. Vidhi, just try to understand. Me, my. Param, superior. Jiva bhutam, comprising the living entities. Mahabaho, O mighty armed one. Yaya, by whom? Idam, this. Dharyate, is utilized or exploited. Jagat, the material world. Besides these, O mighty armed Arjuna, there is another superior energy of mine, which comprises the living beings who are exploiting the resources of this material, inferior nature. Purport. Here it is clearly mentioned that the living entities belong to the superior nature or energy of the Supreme Lord. The inferior energy is matter, manifested in different elements, namely earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Both forms of material nature, namely gross, earth, etc., and subtle, mind, etc., are products of the inferior energy.
the living entities who are exploiting these inferior energies for different purposes are the superior energy of the Supreme Lord. And it is due to this energy that the entire material world functions. The cosmic manifestation has no power to act unless it is moved by the superior energy, the living entity. Energies are always controlled by the energetic, and therefore the living entities are always controlled by the Lord. They have no independent existence. They are never equally powerful as unintelligent men think. Om Agyana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mayam Tadhati Shapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalan Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrajatam Shahagana Raganatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Shahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneshari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kolpitarubhyascha Kupasindho Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Apareyam itas tanyam prakritim vidhime param jiva bhutam mahabaho yayedam dharyate jagat. In the previous verse, Lord Krishna has talked about his inferior energy or material energy. Bhumirapo nalo vayu Kammano buddhir evacha ahankaram iti yam me binna prakritir ashtadha. The world around us consists of two kinds of material energy, the gross matter and subtle matter. The gross matter is the earth, water, fire, air, and a little more subtle, space or sky, ethereal existence. And then subtle matter, the mind and the intelligence and the false ego, which are also material, but very subtle. The living being is covered by these two forms of matter, as we might be covered by a shirt and a coat. We're covered by the gross body, one that we see, made of the gross material elements, and the subtle body, the body of mind, intelligence, and ego. So Krishna has delineated these in the previous verse as being his eight material energies. Now he says two, but two means but there's another energy, anya. Anya means another one. Apara iyam itaha. Other than this inferior energy, there's a superior energy. Prakritim vidhi me param. You should know about my superior energy also. Jiva bhutam mahabaho. It consists of the living beings. Jivas. Jiva means the living beings. The matter has no life. Earth has no consciousness. Water has no consciousness. Fire, air. These have no consciousness. And even the mind and intelligence don't have independent consciousness. The intelligence is used by consciousness. It's my intelligence. Consciousness makes use of intelligence, but intelligence doesn't exist independently. So the jivas, the living beings, are superior to all of these. Yes. The jiva is superior to all of these. And he's trying to enjoy by exploiting the resources of this, but exploiting these material resources. Yayedam dharyate jagat. Jagat means the world. So we have two kinds of energies here in the world. We have the material energy and the living force. Every one of us at the present moment is a combination of these two, of matter and spirit. The body is matter, and within the body is spirit. Without spirit, the matter doesn't work. As soon as the spirit leaves, as soon as consciousness leaves the body, then we say it's a dead body. It's no longer jiva, alive. It's by the presence of consciousness. Otherwise, the same machine is there after the departure of consciousness. But it's no longer a person. It's just a dead body. So the body is being used by consciousness. I gave the example that I say to my hand, come on, scratch my head, and the hand comes. The machine is working under the direction of consciousness. First, consciousness is there, thinking, feeling, willing. Then the machine is directed. You work this way, you work that way. So at the present moment, we're a combination of matter and spirit. I'm spirit, but I'm bound to matter. I'm connected with matter. And therefore, I'm limited by the conditions imposed upon me by matter. This is not my natural condition, but it's my present material condition. I'm limited by the conditions imposed upon me by material nature. The Lord is the controller of all of these energies. We're also the energy of Krishna. And matter is also the energy of Krishna. We'll hear more about that. The distinction between the living entities and the Lord is described in Srimad Bhagavatam as follows. Aparimita dhruvas tanubrito yadisar vigatas tarhi nashash yateti niyamo dhruva netirata ajani chayan mayam tad avimucha niyantra bhavet samam anujanatam yad amatam matadushtataya. O Supreme Eternal, if the embodied living entities were eternal and all-pervading like you, then they would not be under your control. But if the living entities are accepted as minute energies of your lordship, then they are at once subject to your supreme control. Therefore, real liberation entails surrender by the living entities to your control. And that surrender will make them happy. In that constitutional position only can they be controllers. Therefore, men with limited knowledge who advocate the monistic theory that God and the living entities are equal in all respects are actually guided by a faulty and polluted opinion. The idea is sometimes there that you are also God, I'm also God. All of us are God. I may have forgotten that I'm God. That's my problem. But if I remember that I'm God, if I simply return to that understanding that actually I'm God, then everything is all right. This is sometimes put forward. But how is it that I'm God? What is the meaning of God? God means the supreme controller. Otherwise, if God is under some other kind of control, then what kind of God is he? If there's someone superior to God, then how is he God? Otherwise, you can say we're all God, but then there's a hierarchy of gods. There are the small gods, the big gods, the still bigger gods. So then we're not, again, not all equal, not that we're all equally supreme. Some of us are more powerful, some less powerful. So the fact is that Krishna, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is all-pervading. He's present everywhere with full consciousness. And I'm limited. I can't say I'm all over the universe. I can't say that it's by my power that everything is going on. Finally, if I'm supreme, then why am I an illusion? I'm God, but I've forgotten that I've God, that I'm God because of illusion. And if I simply get free from illusion, I'll understand once again that I'm God. But if I'm God, how have I come under illusion? That means illusion is more powerful than God, which makes no sense. So this idea is a very strange, very odd idea, that I'm God and you're God. It makes no final sense. God is God, and we're particles of God's energy. In one sense, I'm like God because I have the qualities of God. God is eternal. I am also eternal. God is full of knowledge. I also have some knowledge. God is blissful by nature. My nature might be also blissful. But God is unlimited. God is unlimitedly great, and I'm tiny. God is infinite, and I'm infinitesimal. So I'm one with God in quality, but different in quantity. Just like gold, there may be some gold in an earring, and there's also gold in the gold mine. But the quantity of gold in the mine is very great, and the quantity in the earring is very small. It's equal. Gold is gold. The gold in the mine or the gold in the earring, both are gold, but the quantity is vastly different. No one becomes a millionaire by having a little earring. But if you owned a gold mine, that's a different story. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given the understanding of achintya bedha bed tattva, that the living beings are one with God and different from God. One with God in quality and different in quantity. That's sensible. Not one in all respects, but one in some respects and vastly different in others. The sun and the little particle of sunshine are identical in quality, but in quantity, they're very different. If you have a sunbeam in your room, you say, oh, the sun is in my room. But the quantity of power in the sunbeam is quite nice. You can be very happy that that little sunbeam is in your room. But if the sun planet were in your room, you'd be dead. So the sun beam and the sun planet are one and yet different also. There's no meaning to the sunbeam without the sun. But the sunbeam is dependent on the sun. The sun is the reservoir of all the sunbeams. The sun is the source of all the energy, and the sunbeam is only a little particle of that energy. In a similar way, we're all little particles of Krishna. That makes us one with Krishna, just as a little particle of gold is part of the total totality of gold. But we're different from Krishna because Krishna is the whole and I'm the part. Tiny part. So here the point is made very nicely. Matadushtateya, those who are thinking that they're one with God in every respect are misled. Dushta means polluted in their thinking. There's some Swamiji who wrote to his disciples. He would sign his letters, your own true self. Like Prabhupada, your ever well wisher, he would sign your own true self. With this idea that, you know, I'm you and you're me and we're all God. But it makes no sense. If I'm you, why should I write you a letter? I'm just writing a letter to myself. So, no. Your own true self. Makes no sense. Krishna is the Supreme Self, and we're the little particles of the Supreme. The Supreme Lord, Krishna, is the only controller, and all living entities are controlled by Him. In Chaitanya Charitamrita it said, Ekala Ishvara Krishna, Arsabhritya. There's only one Supreme Controller, Krishna, and all others are His servants. These living entities are His superior energy because the quality of their existence is one and the same with the Supreme. But they are never equal to the Lord in quantity of power. While exploiting the gross and subtle inferior energy, matter, the superior energy, the living entity, forgets his real spiritual mind and intelligence. This forgetfulness is due to the influence of matter upon the living entity. But when the living entity becomes free from the influence of the illusory material energy, he attains the stage called mukti, or liberation. The false ego, under the influence of material illusion, thinks, I am matter, and material acquisitions are mine. His actual position is realized when he's liberated from all material ideas, including the conception of his becoming one in all respects with God. Therefore, one may conclude that the Gita confirms the living entity to be only one of the multi-energies of Krishna. And when this energy is freed from material contamination, it becomes fully Krishna conscious or liberated. This is the present problem. Yayedam Dharyate Jagat. I'm trying to exploit the material energy. And the result is that I'm becoming entangled with the material energy. We see this in so many ways in the material world. We try to exploit and we get trapped. We try to exploit and we just, we're trying to exploit, say, the resources, the petroleum resources of the earth. It was very good. The earth has so much petroleum. We can use it to create all sorts of conveniences and comforts. So it's very nice. But our power to exploit is limited. And while trying to exploit these resources, we get entangled. So for the sake of that comfort and convenience of petroleum, we're fighting wars in various parts of the world. We're contaminating the environment with all sorts of nasty petrochemicals. So many things are going on. And while trying to exploit these resources, we ourselves are getting entangled. Perhaps you've seen, they have those little, ever seen those little things from Mexico? They're like little tubes made out of some kind of straw or something like that. And you put your fingers in, and then when you try to pull your fingers out, the more you try and pull them out, the tighter it gets. So it's something like that. We're trying to use the resources of nature for our own purposes, but we're getting deeper and deeper into the complexities, complex problems of material nature. This is the problem. We're trying to catch the fish, but instead we wind up wet. This is the nature of the material world. It's sticky. We think that we're just going to make a clean catch, just going to get what we want. But instead, something sticks to us. It's not so easy. We get entangled. But something like, anyway, so many examples like that. You have your idea of what you're going to get, but it doesn't work out that way. You go to, so many examples. So, yayedam dharyate jagat. We're trying to exploit the resources of the material energy, but the material energy retaliates. Or the material energy exacts a price. Or simply we become affected. We become affected. Association has an effect on us. We associate with people, we become influenced by them. We associate with some political party, we become influenced by the political party. We associate with sailors and we start to speak like sailors. We, according to the association, we're influenced. If you associate with nice people, you start to be a nice person. You associate, we're always concerned our children shouldn't associate with, criminals or bad people, because then they might themselves pick up bad habits. Because association is very powerful. But we've become associated with matter. How? By our own choice. We're trying to enjoy matter, and therefore we're affected by matter. We're trying to enjoy matter, and we're becoming affected by matter. specifically, we acquire this material body by contact with matter. We're trying to enjoy, but we're being caught. The example can be given. The moth wants to enjoy the light, but the result is that the moth flies into the light, he becomes associated with the light, and dies because it's so hot. He can't take it. You look under a light in the morning, especially in tropical countries, you'll see so many dead bugs lying on the ground. They were trying to, why did they go to the light? To enjoy. But they were overwhelmed by the heat of the light and they die. So this is the problem. We're trying to enjoy and we're suffering. We're trying to enjoy and we're suffering. Specifically, we come in touch with matter and then we forget who we are. I'm eternal. By nature, I'm blissful. By nature, I'm full of knowledge. By nature, I have nothing to do with the temporary things of this world because they're temporary and I'm eternal. But when I try to enjoy matter, then I become influenced by matter and I start to think that I'm also matter. I identify myself as an American or an Indian or white or black in terms of this material body. So I think I'm this, this is mine. This is called false ego. A false association with matter. So we're meant to get freed from this false association, false identity. Why are we overpowered? Because we're very tiny. Because the material energy is, Krishna's energy is actually very powerful. If we try to exploit it, we get entangled. Just like a man, he drives a truck, he can do it. But if a child tries to drive that truck, he'll get in trouble because he's a tiny little child. But Krishna controls the material energy, he doesn't have a problem. But we try to control the material energy, we have so many problems. Our material existence means so many problems. We may bluff and say, no, I have no problems, I'm happy. But any honest person will admit, I have so many difficulties. Problems caused by nature. Too hot, too cold, too wet, too dry. Problems caused by other living beings, flu germs, mosquitoes, ants, wild animals, and worst of all, human beings. And finally, I've got miseries caused by my own body and my own mind. We're always getting some sort of trouble with the body. And if there's no trouble with the body, then the mind gives us trouble. Well, this is all due to our contact with material existence. And Krishna consciousness means to free myself from this false identification with matter and identify myself with Krishna. Not as being one with Krishna in all respects, but as being part of Krishna. I'm not a part of material existence. I'm part of Krishna's superior energy. Para-prakriti, his superior nature. So we rejoin that superior nature when we change our consciousness, when we don't stop looking toward matter for enjoyment, and instead realize that we're meant to give enjoyment to Krishna. When we look away from Krishna and toward Maya, at once we're in illusion. And when we turn our back on Maya and turn toward Krishna, at once we're in Krishna consciousness. Now, this is the real engagement of the living being, to turn away from Maya, to turn toward Krishna. Tamasi ma jyotir gamam. We're not meant to stay in the darkness. We're meant to come to the light by developing Krishna consciousness. All right, let's see what kind of questions we have tonight. Yes.
This verse speaks about exploiting matter. Are there also examples of trying to exploit or spirit?
Trying to exploit spirit.
Enjoy spirit.
Yeah, we're not the spirit in its is not something to be enjoyed by us. The spirit is the energy of Krishna. We're trying to enjoy spirit. Spirit means the living being. Just like a man is attracted to a girl. Why? Why is a man attracted to a woman? Actually, because the spirit soul is there. Of course, there's so many pictures, how the woman's face is beautiful, how her body is beautiful, how she's... So man is attracted by the beautiful physical features of the woman. But actually, when the spirit's not there, none of that is attractive. It's repulsive, actually. When the spirit is gone, the same body, somebody says, you know, here's your opportunity. You can embrace this beautiful woman. But no one will say, oh, wonderful. No one will say, oh, here's my chance. Now that she's dead, I can embrace her. That means the actual attractive part, ultimately, is the spirit. The matter is attractive because of the presence of spirit. Then someone may say, why is spirit attractive? And the answer is, spirit is attractive because it's part of Krishna. So the ultimate, all attractive, is Krishna. And we're looking away from Krishna and trying to exploit matter or spirit, the spiritual living beings we're trying to exploit materially. The energy is trying to exploit the energy. Actually, the energy is meant to be exploited by the source of the energy. The controller is meant to exploit the controlled. But the under illusion, one controlled living being is trying to exploit another controlled living being. The servants are meant to serve the master. They're meant to give satisfaction to the master. But if the servants are busy trying to assert themselves as masters of one another, that's wrong. They're meant to cooperate in serving the master together because they're their constitutional position. They're the servants, he's the master. So together they're all meant to serve the master. Then there's harmony among them also. If all the servants think that we have to please the master, then when the master is happy, then they're all happy also. Then everything runs nicely, they get everything they need. But if every servant thinks, actually, I'm more important than he is, so I'm really the master, or he should be serving me, then no. And the other one is thinking the same way. So then they're fighting, they're competing. Each one is trying to get the better of the other. No. Or in a family. When all the family members try to please the father, then they're all happy. The children are pleasing to the father, so the father is very happy with the children. Everything's nice. But if the children are fighting among themselves over the father's property, that's not very good. So there'll be happiness and peace and everything when we all see that now we're all meant to serve Krishna. And if we're all trying to be served, take service from others, then there'll be fighting, there'll be quarrel, there'll be every kind of trouble. So if we actually want peace in the world, people want peace in the world, but actually they want a piece of the world. Everyone wants a piece and says, this piece is mine, this piece is mine, this piece is mine. Your piece is too big. I cut that piece down and give me a bigger piece. It's not fair. We have to divide this all fairly. Everyone wants a piece. So the result is the world is in pieces, and it's always quarrel and war, because they're all thieves. They're all claiming, this is mine, and it all belongs to Krishna. Yeah. What's fair? Some thieves have stolen some money, and now they're going to divide it fairly. Now they're going to divide it honestly. They're thieves. None of it belongs to them. So everything belongs to Krishna. Therefore, we have to see this is all Krishna's property, all Krishna's energy. So they should be, it should be engaged in the service of Krishna. Then there's happiness. Mm-hmm. Tena chaktena bhunjita. How much can you take from nature without getting entangled? As much. What? You can take what's given as your quota. Isha Upanishad says, Tena chaktena bhunjita. Ma guddha kashas vidhanam. You can take as much as you're entitled to and not more. So then what are you entitled to? As much as you actually need. Just a bird. If you take a sack of grain and spread it on the ground, the bird will come and take as much as he needs and go away. And the human being will come with a cart and take away the whole thing, no matter how much he needs. And that means we're greedy. We're not satisfied with what we need. We want more. We want more. We want more. There are people, you know, they've got their first million and they're working on their second million. Why? Just because it's another million. It's no longer that they actually have a need, but they have now aspirations. It doesn't matter. They can't really do anything more. Not that they can eat twice as much if they had $2 million instead of $1 million. But now it's become acquisition for the sake of acquisition. It's way beyond need. Way beyond need. And therefore there's sinful reaction. So the real idea is to try to live with less. To accept only the bare minimum. Jivasya tattva jigyasa narto yas cheha karma bi. The Srimad Bhagavatam says that life is not meant for sense gratification. Kamasya nendriya pritir. Not that we're trying to gratify my senses by eating, by sleeping, by this, by that. Labhu jiveta yavata. Just what I need to stay alive. What do we need? We need some clothing, some food, some shelter. Not very much. If you think about what we actually need, we don't need very much. But we artificially inflate our needs. We artificially expand. We artificially boost our needs. And then we get in more trouble. We don't become more happy. We become trapped by all the things that we think we need. Like the silkworm, he builds himself a cocoon, and then the silk merchant comes, throws the cocoon in boiling oil, and the silkworm can't get out because he's trapped in his own cocoon. Well, we do that. We make ourselves a nice house and we fill it with furniture, we fill it with gadgets, we fill it with so many things. And we think, now I'm well situated. Now I'm completely entangled. I'm paying for this, I'm paying for that. I can't give up this, I can't give up that. Even, did I give the example here the other day? That during war sometimes, or just before war, sometimes the government, if it's oppressive, starts arresting people. You know, that maybe it's gypsies or Jews or intellectuals or whoever it might be, or political enemies. And you see that these people are disappearing one after another. Then any intelligent person could figure, well, I'm the next man to go. But still people stay. They could save their lives and you know, run. Why don't they? Because they would have to leave too much behind. You know, my life, my house is here. My business is here. My friends are here. I think it'll be okay. You know, they haven't come for me. It hasn't gotten so bad yet. I don't think they'll come for me. You idiot. They're coming for you any day now. But because you're attached, you're trying to persuade yourself, no, everything's all right. If a person is detached, then he'll think that, why should I, you know, if I lose my house, if I lose my money, if I lose my whatever it is, well, all right, at least I don't lose my life. But people sacrifice their lives for those things. So that I don't lose my house, I lose my life. For money, people risk their life. You know, thieves break into people's homes to get money at the risk of their own lives. The homeowner at any time can, you know, wake up or come back home and shoot them. But I'll risk my life to get money. Pearl divers, you know, they're diving under the ocean, risking their lives to get the pearls. This is the power of material illusion, that for the sake of getting more, for the sake of getting more, I'm risking everything. So Vedic literature says, no, live with less. Don't increase your needs beyond reality. Reduce them down to the minimum. And then jiva satva jigyasa. Use your energy, your human energy, for self-realization. There's no other purpose for which human life is actually intended. We should meet our needs and dedicate ourselves to the real purpose. Because a man needs to eat so that he can work, so that he can do. But if he eats too much, then he can't do anything. He at once goes to sleep. I'm so tired. Or if he goes on eating and eating and eating, then he spends half his life in the hospital. You know, doctor, why am I feeling this way? Why am I... The doctor says, you're too fat. Well, I've increased my needs with the result that I increase my suffering. And the opposite is true. If I decrease my needs, then I'll decrease my suffering. And I reduce the amount... The more I have, the more I have to work to pay it off. The more I have to work to pay it off, the less time I have to dedicate myself to the topics that actually matter. Who am I? What is the purpose of my life? So we have a right to take some wood, some grains, some petrol also, some whatever it may be. But that should be only what we need. And even our life should be molded in such a way that we're serving Krishna. So it's not just what I need for me. It's what I need for my to carry on and serve. Not what I need to enjoy. Even then, with my little needs for enjoyment, I won't be happy. But if I think, whatever I need so that I can serve, then we'll actually be happy. Is that okay? Yes. Material things have no consciousness, yes.
And I was thinking about when I went to school, I went for psychology class. Mm-hmm. And we learned that actually plants, or maybe some plants.
Frogs?
No, plants.
Plants. Plants, yes.
They made some experiment, and they had this guy who went into the room with all the plants, and a lot of people. One of these guys suddenly took this one of the plants and just crashed it, and and they somehow came up with they had some instruments to see that actually the plants reacted.
Yes.
And when they took other people into the room, nothing happened. But when this guy who actually killed the plant came, they got some reactions again.
Mm-hmm.
Is this just bogus?
What kind of reaction did they get from the dead plants?
No, not from the dead plants.
Why not? Why didn't the dead, suppose they've done these measurements and they see that, when the plant is threatened, the plant is registering some anxiety. Huh? Now, why don't they get that from a dead plant? Consciousness is left. So matter has no consciousness. But consciousness is there in the form of a human being, in the form of a plant, in the form of a fish, in the form of a tree, in the form of a bird. In all of these material forms, the spirit soul is present. The spark of consciousness is present. And when that spark leaves, then there's consciousness is gone. The matter is still there. The dead plant is, still has all the chlorophyll, all the, botanical elements. Then why doesn't it register? Consciousness is missing.
I was just wondering if every, trees and do have consciousness.
Sure. They have consciousness. The tree is growing toward the light. Why? He's conscious. The light is nice. These symptoms of consciousness are there. Symptoms of life are there. Birth, growth, sustenance, byproducts, dwindling, and death. A tree takes birth, it grows, stays for some time, it has some byproducts, some seeds for new trees, it dwindles, starts to droop, and it dies. Why? The consciousness. When the living being is there, these stages of transition take place. A human being takes birth, he grows, he lives for some time, he has some byproducts, children, he starts to dwindle, and dies.
What about
mountains? Sometimes it's said that mountains go through these stages too, and therefore there may be spirit soul within the mountain also. Wherever you see these changes, the consciousness is understood to be there. Yes?
A technical plant tree question,
okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you propagate plants by parts of the old plant. Well, spirit soul is transferred in different ways. There's different ways of propagation, through eggs, through seeds, through cuttings, what you're talking about, you cut a part of the plant. So in any case, there's some method, and the soul is present. Otherwise, if the soul is not there, then no growth, no nothing. The soul is placed in the particular body of the living being by divine arrangement. Karmana daiva natrena, by superior arrangement. Otherwise, without the soul, even the human child, sometimes born, stillborn, dead, No, that means no soul. Sometimes the soul is there, not there, by divine arrangement. It's not under our control. Is that okay? First, we have whether the jiva soul is in every atom, not every atom. First, we have to understand the jiva soul is within every body. The atoms, that gets to be quite small. What can we do with the atoms anyway, you know? Sometimes it's taken like, because Krishna is there, so everything is there. But what will we do about it anyway? Even if there's soul, it's so covered that what can you do? Just like there's soul, even the plants, so you need some very subtle machine to detect the presence of consciousness. Or sometimes they have these, you know, creatures that they don't do anything. They just sit there and you could hardly tell that there's anything there. So, why? So covered. Or stupid people, you know, you can hardly tell they're alive, you know, they're just sit there, don't do anything. So the soul is there, but it's covered to a greater or lesser extent by matter. It's covered by goodness or passion or ignorance. If it's covered by goodness, it's covered less. Passion, more. Ignorance, maximum. So the more, just like the plants, they're covered more by ignorance. They can't even, you know, they can't think in any advanced sense of the term. Mathematics is beyond them. Poetry, art, literature, it's not within their scope. What to speak of understanding philosophy. They can understand the sun is out. And even that, they can't verbalize or conceptualize. They just feel something. A feeling is also a symptom of consciousness. So they have consciousness, they have at least feeling. Thinking is not very developed. Consciousness is everywhere, but covered. And at least we can perceive within so many species of life that consciousness is there. And we can understand, most importantly, that I'm consciousness. If I look within myself, and I'll think, well, I'm thinking. I think I'm thinking. I think I'm thinking. I'm thinking. So I'm a thinking creature. Now what is it that I am? I think about myself. What am I? Am I this body? Am I Swedish or American or German or this or that? Or what is it? Do I have some... Is there some part of me that exists beyond this material body? Do I have something? Is there more to life than just working? Eating, sleeping, working, and dying? Is there more than that? So this is the function. These are the functions of developed consciousness, to consider these things. That we have to do. And if I'm meant for more, then what is that more? How do I get that more? And when we come in touch with the pure devotees of Krishna, they tell us, yes, there's more. There's Krishna consciousness. You chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. You'll get that more. Is that all right? Excuse me, loud please. There's consciousness everywhere, just like a dead body. Still, it's got germs in it, it's got worms in it, it's got all sorts of things in it, but the main resident is dead. Just like a house. The house, sometimes the owner dies. Is anyone living in that house? No, the man died. But if you want to take it down to a macroscopic level, no, the ants are there in the house, the germs are there in the house, so many little things are there in the house. But the main occupant of the house is now out. So in that way, sure, the body still has life in it, but not really. Not the main occupant is gone. Yes? Did Prabhupada say there's no matter? Yeah, there's no matter in the sense that everything is Krishna's energy and Krishna's spirit. We talked about that this morning over in Korshness. In one sense, there's no matter. What does that mean? It means Krishna's spirit, everything is his energy, so everything is spiritual. But in another sense, Krishna's energy acts in different ways. Just like electrical energy. It's really only one kind of energy, electrical. But that same electrical energy runs your air conditioner and runs your toaster. So when it's running your air conditioner, you say that that's cooling energy. When it's running your toaster, you say it's heating energy. Really, it's just electricity. But according to the way it's working, we say, no, this is thermal energy, this is heating, and we say this is cooling energy. But really, it's all electricity. So it depends how you employ it. Use it this way, it's heating. Use it that way, it's cooling. But Krishna's energy is one, it's spiritual. But he uses it in different ways. When he uses it for to manifest eternal existence, it's called spiritual energy. When he uses it to cover eternal existence, it's called material energy. The government, it has one treasury, but the money that it uses to build a college is called the education budget. And the money that it uses to build the penitentiary is called the prison budget. It's really the same money, it's just money. But the way the government uses it, now it's called prison budget or education budget. So from Krishna's point of view, it's all his energy. But when you look at it and see how it's working, you say, this is the material energy, this is the spiritual energy, this is... Okay? Yes? Yeah, Maya is also Krishna's energy.
Yeah. But I thought that Maya also was another form of Durga.
Yes, so?
But it named Durga a part from Krishna.
Everything is part of Krishna.
Sorry?
Everything is part of Krishna. Durga is the material energy, but from another point of view, she acts spiritually. Daivihi esha gunamayi. Krishna says this divine energy, consisting of the material qualities, is working under my control. How is it divine energy if it's material? Divine because it's working under spiritual direction. When it works, same thing, when it works to enslave, it's called material energy. And when it works to liberate, it's called spiritual energy. She is.
Yeah. But so she's not doing anything on her own.
No. Same thing. The education budget and the prison budget. Prison budget's not a bad thing. Unless you're a prisoner. If you're a prisoner, you wish there was no budget for the prison, because then you could go free. They couldn't pay the guards. They couldn't just walk out. But from the point of view of the government, the prison budget is as necessary as the college budget. It's not like the education budget is good and the prison budget is bad. They're both government departments. But that doesn't mean that it's as good to be in prison as it is to be in college. Is that okay? Yes. Yeah. How much free will do we actually have? Not much. In the material world, not much. Much less than we think we have. The real free will consists of our ability to choose to go toward Krishna or to go away from Krishna. That much free will. Otherwise, if we turn away from Krishna, we'll be entangled in the material energy. Same thing. If you have the choice, you can serve under the laws of the government or against the laws of the government. If you act against the laws of the government, then you'll be put in prison, and then you'll still have to act according to the direction of the government, but under unhappy conditions. You don't really have a choice. Will I serve the government or not? You have a choice, but if you make the wrong choice, then still you wind up serving, but unhappily. And if you choose, well, why do that? Let me just cooperate, then you'll be happy. Government will give you every amenity, all, you know, whatever you need. Is that okay? Everyone has complete free will. It's just some of us use it properly and some of it don't. Some of us don't. Yes, if you're attached to something, to Krishna's parts, part of Krishna, in relation to Krishna, it's good. Otherwise, if you're trying to deny the relation with Krishna, it's bad. Same example, again, Krishna's we were talking, that Hanuman is attached to Sita, not to, for enjoyment, but to serve. That Sita should be with Ram. Then it's good. And Ravana is thinking, Sita should be with me. That's bad. He's trying to separate Krishna's energy from Krishna, separate Ram's energy from Ram. Why? For his own enjoyment. What was the result? Lost everything. And Hanuman is thinking that Ram's energy should be with Ram. Result is, he gets all the blessings of Ram. Okay. Something else? Yes. Want to double the volume there? How can we preach? In the best way? Chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Chant and be happy. Make them happy also. Distribute prasadam. Talk a little bit about Krishna. Some philosophy. Is it nice? Yeah. All right, shall we chant something? Okay. Let's, yeah. Krishna, Krishna, Hari, Hari.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama,